Welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
And I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
Stacy, the new age old school mom, couldn't be with us tonight because mom stuff.
She's momming.
She's momming.
She's momming it up. She's
crushing
momming.
The mom game, though.
She is. She's raising two wonderful human beings that will not be dick bags.
Yeah, that's fact. Fact.
Thank the world.
Tonight I am drinking Ménage à Trois again, but I'm drinking Lavish, and it's a Merlot, and it's smooth, dark, and plush. Everything you love about Merlot, only more. Ménage à Trois Lavish is a luxurious, over-the-top expression of Merlot, brimming with ripe blueberry and black plum flavors, accented by rich mocha notes, wrapped in a plush, velvety finish. And you know what? Yeah, kinda. I mean, it's very good. It's very good. And the label, it feels like a quilt, kind of, which is neat.
Like, ooh, texture.
Not actually. It's a paper label, but it has like the indents of a quilt, which is... It's a very good one. And I'm not even a big Merlot fan. Yeah.
Oh,
girl,
shit.
Yeah.
I feel you, Dwyer.
Stacey.
Okay, I am drinking this Outspoken Vineyards Sparkling Rosé in a can. I found it at my local grocery store, and it was also on an article I found that was that gave me the 15 best canned wines. Because I just think it's cute and trendy and I like it. I couldn't find any like actual information about it, like any sort of description. And I left the can downstairs. I'm going to be real honest with you. But it's super cute. The label, it's not a label, it's a can. It's got a person with a big mouth and it says outspoken like in the middle of the mouth. And it is delightful. I was worried because it's so pink. I thought it was going to be super crazy sweet, which I am not a fan of. And it's not. It's light. It's refreshing. It's perfect for summer. I'm a huge, huge fan of this. I don't even think it gives the varietals. I mean, it's a canned wine. What do you want?
You're getting the best you could hope for, don't
you? Right. It was funny because I Googled it because I was like, oh, maybe I'll find like their website and a little description and stuff. And the first thing that came up was the grocery store I bought it at. So it doesn't have, it's off the grid a little bit. So nobody
guy's making it out of his garage.
I totally love it. I think it's delicious. And I'm like,
Jean.
Oh, well, I am also drinking a Ménage à Trois, but I am drinking Ménage à Trois Silk. And this was a birthday gift from my friend Anna. Thank you, Anna. And you're right. There is a bit of a texture on the label that you can finger it while you're drinking it.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
This is a...
Don't finger it if you're not going to eat it.
Well, here's the thing. You know what? You're talking to a single lady here. So it says that this is a soft red blend. And it says... Lose yourself in the sensual pleasures of silk. Let the exotic fragrance arouse your senses while succulent cherry and raspberry flavors softly caress your palate. Ooh, it is very arousing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know how I feel about the red blends, man, and this one shows up, and this one is playing. This one's ready to play. I like it. I like it a lot.
She comes over dressed to
Well, good play. Luck following that up, Erin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm drinking.
Okay, that's a trench coat. That's a trench coat wine there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it.
So I am not drinking that. I wish
I'm
I was.
Very sorry for you.
La Grande Noir. Sorry. And it's
very
really
white
it's
of
like,
you.
I know. Yeah. It's noir. It's a rosé, hey. It's really cute. The label has a little black sheep on it.
And I'm a black sheep, so what the fuck. All right.
Aww, Aaron.
On the back it says, being unique, which I really like because I feel like I am unique. And then it says, in a world where many things increasingly look the same, we're delighted to offer a wine that doesn't sheepishly follow the herd. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, there it is. Deliciously mouth-watering, also me, this dry, crisp rosé offers juicy strawberry and blackberry fruit, layered with balanced acidity and a clean finish. You know what? I love it so far. I actually, the first sip, I was like, nah, no. Totally digging it right now.
Wow, we are 4 for 4 tonight.
I know.
With our picks.
I know. That's great.
It's
having
a good night.
Yes, I agree.
I hope so.
Well, oh, I hate to break it to you, it's not, because we're
about I disagree.
We're about to talk about...
That is a lie.
...women and members of the LGBTQ community who support Donald Trump. This is actually a listener question we got a while back, and we're just now getting around. Yeah, don't at us. We're, you know, we get to it when we can. So
it that's needed right. its own episode.
It needed its own episode.
Absolutely
right.
Agreed.
So let's begin by discussing the women who not only supported Trump prior to the election, but still support Donald Trump. Jean, we're going to actually start with you tonight.
We are. Okay. All right.
I have a feeling right. you have a lot of strong opinions.
Being the feisty feminist. All right. So there was an article by The Guardian that published by The Guardian that talked about this group of women who they kind of use it as like a, you know, like a cocktail social thing to get people to get women, to get other women and to get young women to support Trump. And from what I got out of the article, it seems like this group of women are totally indoctrinated into Trump's whole idea that anything that you hear about me is fake news. It says here, one of the co-founders of the group says that we realized there are an awful lot of women listening to the fake news. And they think our president doesn't have the support of women voters. We know that's fake, right? So yeah. So they've kind of, you know, bought into the whole, you know, Trump's ideology that if you hear something that is unfavorable about me and paints me in a bad light, it's got to be fake.
Mm-hmm. That's fucking genius, first of all.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. It's scary how it doesn't seem like it makes so much sense, mm-hmm. but it's also such a crock of fucking bullshit that it's hard to, it's like, yes, it's very smart, but it's also like, Jesus Christ, what the fuck?
Right.
That's all I got to say tonight.
and then this same article, the same group says that colleges are dangerous because what colleges are doing, it says that the left is taking over your children and indoctrinating them with leftist ideas.
All so that we book need, learning.
Yeah, all that book learning ain't no good because it's mm-hmm. going to make you think that y'all actually can do something for yourselves and not just have to answer to man. Ugh. And then they go on to say, we have to protect the vote. You all know that the left works very hard to steal our votes. So these women and their little hats and their little aprons and their little fresh baked cookies are totally fucking June Cleaver, 21st century women who have been completely indoctrinated in it. And there's a really interesting explanation as to why they are so indoctrinated in it. And Psychology Today actually went into explaining why these women are so indoctrinated into it.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
You want me to talk about it? Because I'm ready to go, girl.
Well, let's get it all out there and then we'll discuss
our... Can I make a ground rule?
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
Please stop calling them women because I don't want to be lumped in with these fucking insane people. So let's just, we're going to call them trumpets.
Trumpets. Okay. I'll go with that. Yeah.
I watched the video where they called themselves trumpets, so I'm not making fun of it.
Okay.
These women and these straight women, whatever, they are giving, I don't want to be associated. So let's just, the trumpets.
All right. So I'm going to make one statement from Psychology Today magazine, the article that Jackie sent us. And I want you guys to comment on that statement. Where is it? Okay. All right. I want everybody to comment on it. It says that the reason why these mostly white women, mostly middle-class women, support Trump so dedicatedly is because, quote, women consistently earn less money and hold less power, which fosters women's economic dependence on men. Thus, it is within married women's interests to support policies and politicians who protect their husbands and improve their status.
Blessed be the fruit, motherfuckers.
May the Lord fucking open.
Okay, damn. That shit pisses me off so much because we read quite a few articles about this in preparation for tonight's podcast. And
for
so
once.
All that book learning. And it was just so frustrating because so many times it was mentioned that, like, these trumpets, some of them, and not being supportive of Trump, but at least the ones that were married, like the amount of single women that are voting for him and supporting him is not nearly as high as the number of married women that are, because even though he doesn't have women's best interests at heart, their husbands are going to vote for them, and it's in their best interest to be supportive of their husband's views, which, fuck that. I'm sorry. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's just totally, absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the Venn diagram of these Trumpettes versus women who also subscribe to the theory of not all men are rapists, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that needs to be stated, but the Venn diagram of this, because they see, I wouldn't even say all men are rapists, the ones who supported Brett Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. it's because they can see their husbands and their sons reflected in that possibility, and it's a knee-jerk reaction. Women by nature are nurturers. We are protectors of our families and the people we care about, and that is something that I don't think it's just ingrained in us through societal causes. I think it's actually something a vast majority of us are born with. A lot of us have a nurturing, you know, essence about us. Not everyone, of course, but gross generalization.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
When you knew your husband in college and knew the way he possibly behaved and could see him falling into some of these behaviors, or has seen your son falling into some of these behaviors, it's not that far of a stretch to see why they would be support. I mean, these are the same women who voted for Trump after he was accused of raping a 13-year-old girl. Like these types of things. And I guarantee you, if you looked at these women throughout the course of their lives, through their own personal history, you would find this behavior over and over and over again, making excuses for the men in their lives that they don't want to hold accountable, because holding them accountable and making them face the decisions that they've made somehow reflects poorly on them as wives and as mothers. I think that's what it really comes down to, a reflection on themselves. So it's easier to jump on their bandwagon and say, no, you know, men are men and men behave this way and boys will be boys and all this stuff. People will behave how you raise them to behave.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You know what else like sickened me about the article that Jean actually talked about from The Guardian, is that one of the quotes directly, and it was actually the title of the article too, but it said, you know, Maddox dismissed these issues, saying she didn't, quote unquote, elect him to date my daughter or be my pastor. I elected him to turn the country around and right the ship. She added that she believes society sometimes emasculates men and she prefers strong men. That made me want to vomit. I was uncomfortable reading that because it just meant that this woman does not fucking care, not just her, all the trumpets, do not care that Trump is a horrible human being. They think that he's some righteous, you know, person that they can set on a pedestal and not give a shit about what he actually does. It's all about what he's saying. And that is so not how we need to run this country that is so going in a wrong direction.
And here's what, like, here are all the things about this group, like this group in particular, that got under my fucking skin. It's like when you watch the news and you're like, they could have asked anybody about this thing and they found the fucking dumbest person they could walking across the street.
They always do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have these little events. The smaller ones, they called Trumperware parties.
Oh my God. Gag.
Their logo says Women for Trump and the U is replaced by lipstick imprint. Oh,
I hated that.
I hate it so much. To put a fucking lipstick mark on a sign for somebody that talked about how he could grab women by the pussy, like, fuck all the way off. Then when they talked about, this is my favorite quote. Are you ready? You're here and eating and socializing and shopping because that's what women love to do.
That's it. Nothing else. That's all we love to do.
And then the Psychology Today article points out perfectly that 61% of non-college educated white women,
bingo,
which is so fucking accurate. God damn, they're sitting in their homes baking cookies, making a pie for their fucking husband to come home and tell them how to vote.
That is the problem.
But here's my one.
And I know so many people like that too.
So many fucking people.
Here's my issue though, especially when polls and stuff come out and they talk about uneducated white voters or uneducated people of color or whatever it is. You don't have to have an education to be a decent person. I know plenty of women who have not graduated college who would never vote for Trump. And the other thing, they paint this picture that if you don't support Trump, you don't support men. I also know plenty of men who would never vote for Trump. It all kind of circles around this big elephant in the room, which everyone hates talking about because it implicates people in their lives. But toxic masculinity comes right back to the forefront because women participate in toxic masculinity all of the time. Yes. I know personally plenty of men who treat women with respect and are decent human beings, and it infuriates them that they are forced to be lumped into this group of people that continuously puts women in danger and harms them and preys upon them because they would never do something like that. So I don't like that term just aggravates me because I know uneducated white people that don't prescribe to this whole.
But I think that's all in how you interpret the term uneducated. I don't think uneducated means you didn't go to college.
Non-college educated.
I know that. But what I'm saying is I know lots of people with degrees that aren't fucking educated voters. That's the difference because those people that I know that in my life that totally go along with that. My husband's conservative, so I'm conservative. Yeah. They've never looked into a fucking candidate or a ballot measure or a law in their lifetime. They will go in and vote for every Republican. Because their husband told them to, and that's what their husband does, and it drives me fucking crazy. Like, do your research, do your homework. It doesn't take that much. Like, it's not that hard. I could respect you 1,000 times more if I thought that you actually believed in this shit and did your research, but I know that you didn't, and that drives me nuts.
You're not a
Trump supporter. You're not a Trumpet. You're a fucking sheep. And you're just doing exactly what somebody else is telling you to do. And I have zero respect for that.
Yeah, sorry, you can go, Jean.
Well, I was just going to say that the reason why conservatives have such a hair across their ass about college education, they're always calling it liberal indoctrination, the liberal elite. Because what in my experience, I have a master's degree. And what my college experience was about was challenging the way that I thought. Challenging the old things that I came in with, making me look at things from a different perspective, making me see all the sides of an issue. And that's what fucking conservatives can't stand. And they sure as hell do not want women to learn how to fucking think for themselves. Because the minute every conservative woman learns how to fucking think for herself. The GOP, as we know it right now, is finished.
I'm sorry, Stacey.
Oh, no. I was just going to say real quick, me and my boss were having that conversation today about how we live in an environment where it's not acceptable to have a dissenting opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. Like, I can have an opinion that's different than yours, and ultimately you're the boss. I'm going to do what you tell me to. Right. But me having an opinion that's different than yours is not wrong. And that's what we've taught women, is that it's not okay to have a dissenting opinion. And I'm sorry, you can suck all the bags of dicks for that one. I don't agree with you, and it doesn't make me uneducated. It makes me, I know I'm probably more informed than a lot of people that I had get into these conversations with. And it just is so frustrating. Go ahead. I just had to get that out.
It's fine. I was just going to talk about, I have a friend that right after the election happened, she's very Republican, has been Republican for forever. Gail reached out to her and was like, can you please tell me why you would vote for Trump? And she very calmly laid it all out, said exactly why. I'll be honest, I don't fucking remember. But I thought the reasons behind why she did it were so well thought out that I could not be angry with her for her reasoning any longer. It's the people, like I have another friend that blindly follows her husband, which I don't understand. And it's so frustrating because she's such a strong, wonderful woman. And I think to myself, why? You're so smart, so wonderful. You have such a great head on your shoulders. You've seen what destruction can happen from a man that doesn't understand his power. And you go along with what your husband wants.
Part of it is biblical. It's because women are men are the head of the household, and women are supposed to be subservient to them. And I don't believe it or not, I actually don't say that in a mocking way, because I know religion is very, you know, important to some people. The problem with putting stipulations on thinking and the issues people have with college is a great equalizer. No matter where you're from, you're going to be not only, you know, living with people in the dorms and attending classes with people from all different walks of life, but you're also going to be required to read literature that is going to expose you to people's different struggles and experiences and thought processes. And, you know, not having those experiences is not your fault. We are born where we are born, and the families we are born into, and the states we are born into. Right. But when you are given the opportunity to broaden your horizons and expand your mind and open yourself up to different possibilities, and you choose then not to, then that is your fault. And that's where I think being uneducated comes into it. When you are given the opportunity to educate yourself and you turn it down because you don't want it to challenge your belief system, then you have a problem. And I think that is what these women have done. It's the same type of women. What upsets me so much about women who have voted for Trump, and I don't care if they have 1 million reasons to do so. I don't, because I do believe they are fundamentally going against their own best interests. The same way I think people who are living right at the poverty line and voted for him are voting against their own best interests as well. The only people 100%. He was in interest for was the very, very rich of this country. And then if you voted for him, I mean, I don't agree with it, but I fucking get it. Like, you got exactly what you were hoping for. So I understand your selfish motivations and behavior behind it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. But I think that part of the problem is these are the same women who, when their husbands say, I don't understand why women are always so scared about walking in an alley by themselves. Like, what's the big fucking deal? Just because you've never chased down a woman and attacked her doesn't mean it doesn't happen. When the statistics say that out of four women, you know, one of them has been sexually assaulted, that means there's four of us on here tonight. One of us has been sexually assaulted. And I would venture to say it's probably 50% of us that have been sexually assaulted sitting in this group.
Mm-hmm.
But women have been coached and taught and forced to behave as this is just a way of life. Yeah. And that hands men a blank check to behave and act and react however they see fit, if it will benefit themselves. And this he's a 17-year-old boy. What did you expect? I expect 17-year-old boys not to rape people. That is what I expect. I expect them to treat women the same way they would treat their mothers or their sisters. And right. I hope that's a good one.
Yeah, but probably not. But that 17-year-old boy that's doing that shit probably isn't treating his mother or his sister with respect.
Right. He's probably walking all over his mother.
It was just a saying.
Yeah. No, but I know exactly what you're saying. And that's the thing is that we want these things to be true. We want, you know, these young men and young women to be raised in an environment where they are taught that they can A, stand up for themselves, but do it respectfully. And that's the problem is I think a lot of men are raised to say, I'm going to do what the fuck I want. I don't give a fuck about respecting anybody.
And if you respond, it's automatically disrespectful. It doesn't matter what you're saying, because you show some sort of dissonance. Is automatically disrespectful.
Exactly. And the girls are just taught that, like, yeah, your father is the head of the household and I let him do whatever the fuck he wants. You know, I just follow behind him and I pick up his trash and starch his underwear, you know, whatever the fuck, like Donna fucking Reed. Like, personally, I've seen it happen and it's sad and it's horrible. Yes. And I just want to shake these young girls that are being raised in these environments and just say, you have so much more to offer than this. You have so much more to offer than what your parents are telling you are okay. You have so much more to offer than that. Like, you have a brain, use it, educate yourself, know what's right, know what's wrong, and then go towards the right, not the right, the left. Hey, do something that makes you feel good, not something that your parents told you should make you feel good.
Mm. Exactly. Can I just read a couple? I mean, we're talking about women who support Trump, and you know, this group that we reference that has these little coffee clutches where they talk about sales at Marshall's and
they're
Trumper wear. Well, let me just give you some facts about what Trumper wear they are actually selling. Trump's Labor Department refused to defend an Obama-era rule that would have given 3.2 million women the right to overtime pay. He also revoked an Obama-era action that protected working women in particular. Trump axed an order that required companies to transparently explain the way hourly pay was calculated. Now, mind you, more women than men are paid hourly. He canceled a rule that banned federal contractors from forcing women to settle sexual harassment and sexual assault cases by arbitration. And you know what? I could keep reading. I could keep reading all the fact-based Obama-era protections for women in the workplace that Trump has rescinded. Now, if you think that is not a problem, if you're a woman that thinks that is not a problem, well, then you obviously must be one of the lucky few who is not a head of household. Mm-hmm. When you think of how many women in this country are heads of households, for whatever reason, because the fuckwad man that they were with decided to run off on them, whatever reason a woman is a head of a household, she is raising male and female children. Mm-hmm. You kind of want to give her the same due that she has earned by working hard every day. But Trump's pulling back on all those Obama era protections for women basically says that if you are a woman in the workforce, you are fucking ancillary. You are not needed. You are not fucking useful. And fuck you if you're supporting if you are the head of a household without a man.
Here's the one thing I did want to point out about the Obama era regulations. And of course, I support them. I did want to state, and if you've been a longtime listener, we did kind of the history of feminism. You understand that we're not that far off from women not being able to have credit cards and buy their own houses and own their own cars. Like, this happened. Gene was still a kid when these regulations got rolled back.
I was alive when this shit was going on.
So I don't want to give the misconception that this started with Trump, because it did not. Women have been second class citizens since the inception of the country.
Yes.
I also wanted to point out this is one of the issues with executive orders, and that proves Congress has not been doing their actual job These should have never been provisions that could have been rolled back, and they are because they're executive orders done just by the pen of the executive branch. But because Mitch McConnell wouldn't actually vote on anything and he completely stalled the Senate, these couldn't become actual laws. They're executive orders. So this is just my one little minute blurb on stop voting just in presidential fucking elections and vote in midterms because the Senate matters. The Senate matters just as much as the damn presidency.
If not more.
Buttigieg, run for the Senate.
Although, everybody do their Mitch McConnell impression right now. Ready, go.
I broke my shoulder.
My Twitter has been declined, and fucking karma got me, and I fucking fell and broke my
even more. Even more infuriating than women voting for Trump, because I feel like at least you can trace it back to them wanting their husbands to get ahead and participating in the patriarchy like their mothers before them did. Here's what's worse. LGBTQ community voting for Trump.
Oh, God.
So I personally think that's worse than women. That's just one. I feel way more betrayed by the LGBTQ community that has done that than women.
I agree.
So have you guys personally encountered someone in our community that has voted for Trump? Go ahead, Jean. Jean's waving her hand.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Because you know what? Because this sincerely makes me sad. I had a friend, a male friend, from the time I was a little kid, and he and I over the years have had many discussions about things, and we prior to Barack Obama we used to be able to discuss politics. For some reason, he's Republican, and I think it goes back to his father, because his father was like the Archie Bunker of East Haven, and I think as homage to his father, he kind of stuck with his father's 1960s conservative political politics. However, he is a gay man, and prior to Barack Obama, I used to be able to, kind of spar with him and engage in, Republican versus Democrat discussions. But when Obama was in office for the 8 years and the LGBT community leaped forward so far with equality and rights and progress that I can no longer entertain any type of discussion with an LGBT person who can still support the Republican Party, because I cannot tolerate someone who is okay with the rights that we were given being fucking stripped away by some jackass who really doesn't give a shit. Trump, you know what? Let's be honest. Trump really does not give a shit either way, whether gay people have rights or not. He is totally fucking pandering to his out of their minds, right wing, southern fucking political evangelicals who fucking hate gays, and that's what it's all about. And so he and I have stopped talking. A 30 plus year friendship has come to an end because he still feels like he should support Trump for love of country. My rights don't matter that much. It all comes out in the wash.
That.
It's so frustrating. Like, I work with men, all the men that I work with all voted for Trump. And it is very, very, very frustrating because they're all straight men, but two of them have gay daughters.
Yikes.
What? And I got into a horrible debate today. It was horrible, but it was awesome because I stood my ground and I pointed out a lot of flaws. But he had the nerve to say to me that gay people not like he doesn't understand why gay people wouldn't want to vote for Trump. And I because I knew this podcast was coming tonight, I literally did some research, and I just the idea behind it just sickens me, and it just makes me so uncomfortable and sad, because the idea that people don't understand what gay people have gone through, that they don't get it, they don't understand that we have been persecuted, that we have been shouted and jeered at and everything, and that, you know, beaten like I've walked, yeah, beaten to death, that I've walked the streets before and kissed my girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend, but I you know, and I got yelled at, I got called a fucking dyke, like, you know, like all of these things that, like, it's just, it's horrible. And this is where I don't understand how I truly believe that gay people that can vote for Trump have no idea what it really feels like to be a minority. They have no idea. Like, they do not get it. Like, whatever is in their mind, whatever is going on in their personal life, they do not get it. They are either very rich. They do not have a boyfriend. They don't give a fuck. There's so many things that just doesn't make sense to me, because in my mind, when you vote against someone that is, or you vote for someone that is against your very core self, like, this is part of who I am. Like, it may not be all of who I am, but it is a big fucking part. And you know what? Like, if I were to vote for someone that is against that, how is that okay?
Well, you're bumping up.
It's not.
You're bumping up against two things right now. Because one, especially with gay men, gay white men, you're bumping up against their male white privilege also, especially men who present as straight. They are granted the same amount of privilege that that straight white men are granted. Mm-hmm. Now this, this is not to implicate men of color, you know, trans men. I'm talking about white men right now. And whether or not white men believe it, they do have a certain amount of privilege, and some have it more than others. Even the poorest white man in the deepest part of the South has more white privilege just based on looks than one of the rich men in, you know, black men in San Francisco. You just absolutely do. A black man in San Francisco is still more likely to get pulled over than a poor white man in the South. So one of the things you see with especially gay white men is you're rubbing up against their privilege, and that makes them uncomfortable because they can still do what they want behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. That's not as important to them as
their privilege.
As their privilege. And I don't even think it's a conscious thing. But when you're talking about gay women, we're already women. So we're already facing some of the discrimination.
Sure. Yes.
Unconscious or double, conscious. You know, yes. So we're more whammy. We're more acutely aware of the possibilities of that issue. So I think that is why you see predominantly more gay men who will vote for Trump than gay women. That's my thesis. I don't have any support
for
it.
I support you. I absolutely agree with you, but and I could add my friend, you know, I'll always love him. I hope that when once Trump is out of office, we could find a way to reconcile our friendship, because you know, 30 plus years is a long time. Mm-hmm. But over those 30 years, I could tell you that he is not and has not been ever happy that he's a gay man. And, you know, it sounds cliche. Oh, the self-loathing homosexual. But that is a real thing. They are real people in this country, self-loathing homosexuals. And they are the ones that being treated equally, being given your rights as an American citizen are not important to them. If they do not like or care about who they are as individuals. And it's incredibly sad and incredibly difficult to try to have a sensible discussion with someone who fundamentally does not believe they deserve to fight for who they are and to be respected for who they are.
They'd rather not fight and just go into the group that they look like.
Yep.
You know, they'd rather just be a white man, a white straight man, than fight for the rights that their people need.
The sad thing is there's straight white men out there fighting harder for their rights than they are.
Yeah. I know, right? Because I know a lot of straight white guys, mm-hmm. God bless their souls, who are totally progressive and are totally all about equality for everyone.
God, I want to meet them.
I can give you their names later.
They're not at my place of employment. I'll tell you what.
You got to come up to Connecticut.
You know Kai. You know JJ. You know Ben. Okay. Like you.
Okay. Yes, Kai. Kai's our man.
Sweet baby angel, Kai.
He's gonna survive the feminist purge.
Yeah.
This is something that, like, during my debate earlier, like, the straight pride parade got brought up. And, you know, the guy that brought it up is a straight white man. And I'm just like, he goes, you know, what's the problem with the straight pride parade? I was like, do you not fucking think that you, every time you walk outside, this is your straight pride on parade? Like, what the fuck? When was the last time you were persecuted because you are fucking straight? I was so infuriated with him. He was just like, I just don't understand, what's the big deal? I was like, fine, go have a straight pride parade. I hope that you have so many fucking supporters for your straightness. Like, do you need me to tell you how wonderful it is that you're straight? Like, fuck you. You have no idea. I was like, when was the last time you leaned over to kiss a girl and you were told how disgusting that is? I was like, that's
probably every Friday.
Yeah, probably all of them. Hopefully all of them.
That's the girl he's trying to kiss. Right? It's funny because you know what we sound like? We sound like, you know, people who live in like totally whitewashed areas are like, I have a black friend. We're like, I know a supportive white male. I'm friends with one. I can name three off the top of my head.
I literally can name three off the top of my head, and that's what's so sad.
Well, like, this is part of my issue, and I know we're talking about, like, gay Trump support, and I know we don't need to talk about white, straight men Trump supporters, mm-hmm. but every important man in my life is a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Every important man. Like, my stepfather, my uncle, my coworkers. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's so upsetting to me because it's like, not only do they not understand, but they don't give a fuck about me. Mm-hmm. They don't give a single fuck about their daughter, their niece, their coworker. They don't give a fuck. And that is where I decide I don't give a fuck about them. And I don't give a shit that they think that they're, you know, oh, I'm so persecuted because I'm straight. I'm so sad because I'm a white man and I was like, you know what? You're being put upon. You're being put upon because you're a white fucking man. Why don't you stop bitching at me about it and bitch at your fellow white man that is giving you this horrible fucking stereotype.
Preach, sister. But you know what? It's the same shit as people that are like, where's White History Month? Fuck you. It's every month.
It's the other 11 fucking months out of the year. That's White History Month.
Yeah.
Aaron, good for you flicking all those fucks right off.
Yeah,
get the fucks off tonight.
But it's just that thought of, like, if you've never had to suffer, like, we have a serious lack of empathy in our society. Because, I'm a straight white woman, and although I'm a woman and that affords me some, you know, I'm held back in some ways because of that, just because of the patriarchy and whatnot. I can at least be empathetic to other people's situations. And I feel like, especially among men, I feel like there's this, which we talked about it in Gavin Newsom's wife's documentary, where there's that lack of empathy, like where it's not okay to show emotion. And it's just so sad to me because I can sit back and look and go, yeah, we should have Black History Month. We should have a gay pride parade. I don't feel like I need to have the other things because I can be fucking empathetic and understand and check my own privilege when I see it and that I can use that privilege to be a really good ally when I need to. And I don't understand. I do understand why that's a problem. I should take that back. It's because we don't have any fucking empathy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, straight white girl. I love
you.
You're my favorite of my straight white friends.
I also think that when you look at the LGBTQ community that does support Trump, I think Gene touched on something. I think a lot of it is a lot of self-loathing. I especially with, and I'm not trying to offend you, Gene, but especially older LGBT people, they had to spend a lot longer hiding than...
assimilation.
I spent almost half my life hiding.
So I think there's a ton of self-loathing involved in that. And if they can prove to the people that they've always wanted to be accepted by that mm-hmm. See, I'm not different than you. I want the same things as you. I want those brown people to be kicked out of the country. I hate black people too. Like, see, I'm okay. It doesn't matter where I put my dick. Like, I think a lot of that self-loathing behavior, I do think one of the reasons that the majority of the LGBTQ community, you tend to find more empathy there, is because they know what it's like to be shit right. on all of the mm-hmm. time, which right. is why you'd be hard pressed to, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but you'd be much more hard pressed to find someone with less empathy who is more racist or who mm-hmm. doesn't think that people should have, you know, equal rights or equal privilege. You know, it's just more difficult because they get it. They fucking right. get it. And you know, it struck me, when you, especially with trans people, you watch a lot, you see the hatred that they take and the way that they handle it with God, such grace, so and mm-hmm. such confidence, and such like, I understand where you're coming from, but I just need you to understand this is who I am and this is how it's going to be. They handle it with so much maturity. And I think the reason they do that is because they've been exposed to so much hatred. They refuse to pass it on. And yes. I think these white women that have voted for Trump, they haven't experienced a tremendous amount of that in their lifetimes, especially because a lot of them are shielded by their husband's privilege in the world. If you're associated with a strong, powerful, financially independent man, you share that privilege. That affords you a lot of opportunities that, you know, a single mom who's working three jobs doesn't fucking have. They just don't. So, absolutely. And of course they're going to try and protect that. And I think if you ask them point blank, do you realize that by doing this, you're hurting people? I don't mm-hmm. think they cognitively understand nope. that, mm-mm. but I think that's intentional. They've intentionally shielded their mind the same way with gay people who voted for Trump. They're intentionally shielding their minds from the people that they could be harming by the regressions that have been made by this administration for their own selfish reasons. And it all really comes down to, I personally believe, because they just want to fit in. They just want to be accepted by these people that they have tried for their entire, and that's sad. That's fucking so sad. You need to grow the fuck up. You're gay.
Yep.
Sorry about it. Yep. Like that's right. That's how
instead of
crumbles.
Being sorry, just fucking be proud of it and find out why it's okay.
But they feel it as
No, I agree with you. Like I agree, but like instead of like us saying like you're like sorry, you know it sucks sometimes. Like instead of being like it fucking sucks, just be like look at all the amazing things that can happen if you just open your mind for 5 seconds and look at what a great community you could be part of instead of making yourself not part of this wonderful fucking community. Anyways, Jean, you had something to say. I'm sorry.
Well, they're just trying so hard to be part of the norm. But you know, just what really, yeah. I mean, what is the norm? What is the norm that we hate immigrants? We hate people who are different. We don't respect diversity. We want everybody to be just like us. I mean, I don't, you know, I don't understand what it is they're looking for. The you know, the gay people who can't accept themselves.
People don't want to be like me. Come on.
If that's the norm though, I don't want anything to do with it.
I don't get it. I mean, it's really sad that they can't look beyond, you know what? Shirley Jackson wrote a great short story called The Lottery. And I don't
read that.
Yeah. You guys were probably all forced to read it in your English classes.
Yes.
And what it's a fucked up dystopian story about what happens when as a culture, we do not evolve and fucking get rid of old traditions that no longer serve us. Traditions that are worn out and bygone, and we should fucking get rid of them.
You're
and
sold
not
for a goat? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Don't fucking hang on to a tradition that hurts everyone just because 100 fucking years ago everybody thought it was great.
But you hold on to it if it benefits you.
Well, yeah, that small minority. Well,
but sometimes it's only the convenience that benefits you, because that's one of my least favorite things that ever happens in my professional life is that, oh, we do it like this because we've always done it like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, fuck
okay,
that noise.
Okay, well, why? It's not even, like, it's not even best.
It doesn't practice. Even like, work.
Right, but it's
that is what the upper class white, that is what the upper class white conservative America wants.
Right. And it's so
been working for 250 years, so we're not going to fucking change
it. Exactly. But that's not the point. Those are the same people that are calling themselves constitutionalists, but don't believe in ratifying the Constitution. If it wasn't meant to be ratified, there wouldn't be a fucking ratification process.
Right on, Dempsey.
It's a living, breathing document. Jesus, it's meant to be changed as time changes.
How many fucking amendments have we had?
Right.
Our forefathers were smart enough to realize that things were going to probably fucking change in the future. They, you know, like, why can't now men be like that? Like, now men. That's like a new term. Now men. Now men.
Well, the other problem, though, is we place too much importance on the founding fathers. They were flawed individuals.
Absolutely.
And no, not, I'm not saying we, like the four of us. I mean, like the people.
No, I know. I mean the humanity.
Right. We're not the founding fathers. We're the founding mothers. Hey.
Well, and you know what? Some of the founding mothers don't get nearly enough credit for their part in forging this country and creating it how it was. President Adams' wife doesn't get nearly, Abigail Adams doesn't get nearly the amount of, Susan B. Anthony doesn't get nearly the amount of credit that she should have for helping to create this country.
Can I be a nerd?
Sure.
I was just going to say, because I fucking love Hamilton, that's one of my favorite things about that show is at the end, you know, this whole thing about how Alexander Hamilton had this brilliant mind and he was going to do all this work and he just didn't have enough time. And in the finale song, they talk about his wife and all the amazing things she went on to do because his life was cut so short and how she established an orphanage and did all this stuff. And she made sure that all George Washington, all those people were recognized and that they're, you know, like she did all of these things. And I thought it was so poignant that that show, like that's all about sort of him and Aaron Burr, had this moment at the end where they talk about all the amazing things that his wife did, you know, that far exceeded, well, not exceeded because obviously he established like so many things in our country, but how important that was in the work that she was doing too. And I'm just going to be a nerd and say that.
No, that's awesome. That's so true, though.
Well, look at the legacy of Eleanor Roosevelt compared to her husband. Yes. And he still considered.
I'm sorry, her husband or her cousin?
Both. Two things can be true. But, I mean, some of FDR's legacies are still in effect today. But if you...
Drunk history.
You will hear more people quote Eleanor Roosevelt than you ever will hear quote FDR.
Totally.
And, yeah. And her accomplishments, you know, as much as she celebrated, are still kind of swept under the rug. The things that she did for the feminist community are you know... this is a whole different podcast. So.
Well, yeah, and you know what? She was a total lesbo, and so
I was gonna say, yeah.
She's got my vote. If we can resurrect her and let her run for something, man, she's got my fucking vote.
Can three things be true at the same time? Because he was the husband, the cousin, and the beard.
Hey.
Don't feel bad for FDR. He was still getting his. He was cheating on her too. Like, don't start feeling bad for FDR.
I feel like it was probably a mutual thing, don't you think? Like,
when you marry your cousin, isn't
that? Yeah, she wasn't into him. He wasn't into her.
Like Bill and Hillary. Yeah.
That was like one of the very first open relationships. I feel like it was not like documented, but I'm pretty sure that was probably like, hey, you don't want to have sex with me, right? Nope. I don't want to have sex. Perfect. Let's go find our own fucking things.
So we're going to move on to what we're obsessed with, but I'm going to go first because I think this may actually take up a little bit of time, but I'm going to try and keep it short. The thing I'm obsessed with this week is the shootings that have been taking place all over the country.
Oh, God.
And I saw what I wanted to focus on was I saw someone on Twitter post, you know, there's 500 people a day that die in a car accident, and there's, you know, 350 people that die from medical malpractice, and, you know,
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. So, what I wanted to say about that is, though, those are accidents, you know, and we're all in this group Marco Polo. I'm sure our listeners would love to be part of that, but believe me, it's a lot of nonsense.
A lot of drunk conversations.
I said earlier, I have a relatively healthy relationship with death. Like, because of my time in the military and stuff, I understand I am going to die. I completely accept that. My wife is going to die. My son is going to die. Everyone I love at some point is going to die because that is how life works. There's no escaping it. That is just how it works. So I feel like I have a pretty healthy relationship with it. What I can't accept, though, and I can even accept car accidents or tragedies. They're accidents. It's not intentional. Medical accidents happen. It's unfortunate. And I'm not saying I'd be any less devastated if something happened to one of my friends or my wife or something, but they happen. These instances, though, someone chose to pick up a weapon and end the lives of innocent people for whatever obscure, fucked up reason they had created in their head. And when people say that this country has a mental health problem, yeah, people suffer from mental illness. That's a fact. But people suffer from mental illness all over the world. We're the only country that has this specific problem. And the reason for that is there are too many fucking guns in our country. Yeah. Too many people have too much access to guns. I'm not saying people shouldn't own firearms. I understand why it was enacted in the Second Amendment. I get that it the intention is to be able to rise up against a tyrannical government that tries to overthrow us. I get it. I've actually read the Constitution, and I've actually read the Federalist Papers, and I've actually read the journal entries of the Founding Fathers. I fucking get it. But we do not need these machines that can kill 15 people in 4 seconds. We do not need them. You do not need them. If you want to have a rifle to hunt with and a gun for home protection, I can accept that as long as you're willing to go through the appropriate classes to handle it maturely, responsibly, and safely. I don't have an issue with that. But when we're selling magazines that can hold 100 bullets that can be fired in 15 seconds,
there's no reason for it.
No, there's no reason for, and I don't want to hear the slippery slope argument. I don't want to hear all of that. I want this country for once to prioritize the lives of innocent people over their right to own whatever weapon they want without considering the lives of others. Think of it this way. A lot of these shooters now, one of them bought the gun legally. Actually, two of them bought the guns legally. But a vast majority of mass shooters get their guns from people that they know are in family members. These guns are falling into the hands of people that have nothing but homicidal tendencies.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't make mental health care available to more people. I think we absolutely should. I mean... I think it should be free. If you want to talk to a therapist, you should be able to for free. I fully believe that. But we also need to take it another step. If you've hit your wife ever, you don't ever get to own a fucking gun. Yeah, if you've abused a child, you don't ever get to own a fucking gun. There are things that should permanently ban you from owning a weapon that you can make a split second decision to kill someone.
How about if you're ordering fucking a dozen rounds of ammunition off the internet? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't that fucking trigger something?
Right.
That's all I've gotten kind of numb to them, unfortunately, after Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
And all those first graders being killed and nothing changed. And then Parkland and then Vegas and then.
I know.
It's it becomes harder and harder.
Pulse.
I've become kind of numb because I'm so angry that nothing has changed.
Right. Yeah. I will say this, one of the things I do want to say aside from my main point is that Trevor Noah did a very brilliant behind the scenes part of his show on that very tweet. And one of the things that he pointed out was like, yeah, okay, so medical accidents happen, like car accidents happen, these things happen, but we're trying. We are trying. As an American culture, we're trying to fix them.
Make a checklist. You make sure that all the equipment
we make cars safer. We make sure that, like, at the end of a surgery, a junior mint isn't left in it.
I could be killed in a car accident, but it doesn't stop me from putting my fucking seatbelt on every time I get in.
Exactly. Like, so there are certain precautions and things like that, but, like, One of the things that I wanted to say aside from that was, so my uncle, who is very near and dear to my heart, is a huge gun owner. Huge. He has a gun safe. He has all these guns. I think he has two AR-15s. Like, he doesn't fucking need these guns. So he started watching the documentary on Netflix called The West. And he has been talking nonstop about how horrible the American culture is and how we are such a violent culture. Because he finally fucking figured it out that we have been killing people since the minute we stepped on this fucking land. Since the minute we landed on America, or I'm so hyped up and drunk right now. I don't even fucking know. But
since the second pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock.
Exactly. Like, motherfuckers, we have been killing Indians. He was like, I can't even believe, the gold rush, and we have been killing Indians. Did you know that people used to be able to actually get a scalp and get money for a scalp from an Indian? I was like, yes. How the fuck do you not know that? Like, I'm shocked and appalled, but also happy that he is finally turning a corner and he's seeing that, like, the amount of guns he has are not necessary. And he said this. He was like, I don't need all this. I don't need all these guns. He's like, I need one for protection, one for hunting. I don't understand. Why have I been doing this? I'm like, because you are crazy. You are a crazy motherfucker.
Good for Uncle Zach, man. Look at the fucking epiphany this dude had.
And he also said he might vote Democratic. So there you go.
Get off, Aaron. You are a fucking miracle worker, Aaron Zach.
I'm doing goddess's work over here.
You are doing the fucking goddess's work.
Baby. Here's what I do want to say about the people who own an arsenal of guns. Shooting guns is fun. It's fun to shoot things. I'm not even going to pretend to say that it's not. But my fun does not supersede anyone's right live without fear of going going to a festival or a concert or...
Supersede anyone's fucking right to breathe.
Right. So breathe. I enjoy firing a weapon as much as... Anyway, it is fun. But that... That doesn't matter. But there's lots of fun things.
You're not against people owning guns.
I'm not against people owning guns.
Can I say one thing? Because we're moving on to me now. It's my obsessed with. So I had something like lighthearted, whatever.
Look at her taking control of the podcast. Like, all of a sudden.
So what I'm going to say is, one of the things that gets me through a lot of these times is Trevor Noah and Seth Meyers. I feel like they so accurately articulate how I'm feeling in that moment. And their responses to situations like this are always so, so right on with how I'm feeling. And one of the things that Trevor Noah said, which super spoke to me, because I've said that a lot, like, you're using a gun, not you, but the proverbial you, as a fucking toy. Mm-hmm. And if you get fewer toys to dick around with and someone else gets to stay alive, I'm super fucking okay with that. And so one of the things he said was, I think it was the shooting in El Paso, that he fired 100 bullets before he had to reload. And that's one of the things Trevor Noah said, was that's not something you need for hunting. If you need 100 bullets to shoot a deer, you may want to try fishing. Like, that's not a fucking hunting thing. You don't need that. So yeah. I'll have that be my thing I'm obsessed with this week. Trevor Noah and Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers, I actually think they're both super hot.
That's the fastest obsessed with you for Trevor Noah.
Yeah, Trevor Noah. Yeah,
bite your tongue.
Trevor Noah.
I would fucking. Cheers. And he can do accents. He can do imitations. I love
him. He's got that like South African accent that I'm a big fan of. Yeah.
I am going to discuss what I'm obsessed with this week is exactly what Jackie is obsessed with. except I'm obsessed with the mentality of conservative Republicans who I know this from my Facebook post today, with the group of conservative Republicans who cannot fucking separate the fact that common sense gun control and common sense legislation and a fucking assault weapons ban does not mean they're coming for your guns. Mm-hmm. Holy fucking Christ. I can't tell you how many people I know who fucking think that because I want universal background checks, because I want agencies to be able to communicate with each other when fucking red flags come up, because I want someone at a gun show to have to run the same background check on a crazy person who wants to buy a fucking arsenal of weaponry in the same way that someone who owns a gun store has to do it. These fuckers think that I want to get away, I want to fucking completely abolish the Second Amendment. No, motherfuckers, I do not. I am 100% behind Second Amendment rights. If the government tried to take away Second Amendment rights, I would fucking stand up and shout and scream and be as feisty as I am for women's rights and gay rights. But fuck faces, can you listen to me? Common sense gun legislation does not mean taking away your right to bear arms. Holy shit, where's the fucking Tylenol?
Well, yeah, you look at, so, like, California has relatively strict gun laws. The shooting at the Garlic Festival that happened in Gilroy, California, that individual, I'm not even going to say his name because he doesn't deserve it, bought his weapon in Nevada and then came over. You look at the shootings in Chicago, most of the they can trace those guns back to Indiana. Like, there's, because different states have more lax laws and we don't have them across the board.
Fucking Pence, Indiana, hello.
Well, because we don't have them across the board, it's easy to buy weapons wherever you want. Like Virginia for a while, there was a ton of people that would come down from like New York and Washington, D.C. and stuff and purchase firearms in Virginia because you could purchase as many as you want and then bring them into these areas that they weren't permitted. So for a while, they had you could only buy one gun a month. One gun a month to try and slow down the production of gun sales in these areas. And then they had to take it back because so many people lost their fucking minds about it. So who the fuck needs more than one gun a month? Like,
not sure. Right? About like, that. Can you imagine one gun a month? No. Like, it was the gun of the month club? Is it like the jelly of the month club?
Oh my God, Aaron, you know what? You know what? Getting back to Sandy Hook, because I live in Connecticut. I remember this shit daily, nightly on the news. The Sandy Hook shooter's mother had a whole fucking collection of guns, every type of rifle, every type of semi-automatic. It was like on display in a fucking curio cabinet, like those tiny little goddamn dolls. And
precious moments.
Precious, that's what I was looking for. Precious moments.
I got you.
Why does anybody need to have a fucking precious moments collections of high-powered assault rifles? The answer, you fucking don't.
You don't. And I think at this point, like, even like if you were to ask my uncle why he has two AR-15s, he'll say because he can. He said,
exactly.
He said, like, I got them because I was afraid that they were going to try to take all the guns away. And I was just like, what are you even talking about? Like, they're not taking guns away. No one's taking your fucking right to own a gun away. Stop thinking that way.
That's what the NRA pumped into everybody's head during the 8 years of the Obama administration.
Well, and I was reading somewhere too about like the number of people that are members of the NRA is so small. Like, compared to the population of the United States, the NRA only has, like, 5 million members. It's not that many.
I mean...
Well, they're fucking powerful, no matter how many members they have.
That's because they have all the money.
Well,
I want to have all the money.
Me too. I'd like to have 5 million members and all the money.
Part of the problem is... So the NRA actually started as... When it originally was established, it was to help teach soldiers who were coming back from the Revolutionary War and stuff how to use the firearms that they were issued to hunt and protect themselves. Like, that is how the NRA was originally established. And somewhere in the 1970s, there was this huge transition. It was because the person who ran the NRA, their chief executive officer, changed and decided to get into the lobbying business. The NRA wasn't always this... organization that we know it is today. It actually started with really good intentions, as most organizations do. But now, you know, their commodity for trade is fear-mongering. And, yep. You know, you need to own all of these weapons to protect yourselves from immigrants, from the government, from... And here's the thing, guys. Even if you have 10 AR-15s, let's say you own 10, and let's say you can fire them all at once by some magical fucking whatever. Your penis all of a sudden grows a trigger finger, and you can fire all your AR-15s. If the government's actually coming for your fucking guns, those aren't going to stop them. They're coming in tanks. They're coming in tanks, and it doesn't matter how many AR-15s you have. They're going to bounce off of those tanks. In the extreme unlikely event that would happen, what's more likely? Someone breaks into your house and steals your AR-15s and then goes on a mass shooting spree, or the government shows up to your house in a tank and tries to arrest you and your family?
The only reason I feel like guns are a necessity, like a massive amount of guns are a necessity. The only reason, listen to me, the only fucking reason is a zombie
apocalypse
attack. Yes, like that's the only reason.
Will they even help?
Yes, they will help. You can shoot a zombie in the head. And yeah, there was a whole episode of The Walking Dead. No.
Okay.
No.
You don't need a silver bullet or anything?
No, that's a werewolf.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Come on. No, but seriously, I just feel like there's... Guns are so... They are necessary. Do not get me wrong. I think guns are definitely a necessary thing that the country as a whole will never be able to get rid of. They will never be able to pull, you know, what other countries have pulled and said, no guns whatsoever. That just won't happen. It just won't happen now.
Well, we have the Second Amendment, so it shouldn't happen.
Exactly. But it's at the same time, we need to make it Trevor Noah pointed it out perfectly. Mm-hmm. There's this whole... you have to go through so much to get a fucking license to drive a car, which can get just as easily. Why do you not have to do that to get a gun? I asked my uncle this morning, I was like, what did you have to do to get your concealed carry permit? And he said, I had to fill out so much paperwork. He's like, literally, it took me days and days to fill out this paperwork. I had to go take a test. I had to go do all this stuff to do this. And I was like, great. And he's like, the only thing that I was waived from is one part of the test because he's a veteran. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I understand that. You're a veteran. You obviously know how to handle a weapon. But now he's got 57,000 guns. I'm like, what the fuck? You should just...
Let me tell you something. So California, they have a mandatory 3-day waiting period for weapons, which I think should be mandatory across the country. You should, and I actually think it should be 10 days. I think you should have to wait 10 days to purchase any firearm legally. And that is just a cooling off period. It makes sense to me.
Yes.
When I moved to Pennsylvania, it took me... I have a concealed carry permit. I have a gun in my house. I'm also a veteran. It's locked in a safe. Believe me, it's under lock and key. I would never... And anyway, mm-hmm. it took me less time to get my concealed carry permit than it did get my marriage license. I filled out less paperwork to get my concealed carry permit than I did to get married. Let that sink in.
It took a little while to get marriage license on the day of, just saying.
And you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. They don't want her to marry. Can I just tell you what my Facebook experience today was with a Trump supporter?
Sure, then we're going to go to Aaron's Obsessed With.
Oh, said mine. What am I obsessed with?
Oh, all right. So, all right, Aaron, think about it while I'm blabbering. Okay. All right. So at literally today on my Facebook page, I posted some, anti-gun thing, anti-fucking weapon of mass destruction. I should correct myself. Not anti-gun.
Anti-murder.
So anyway, yeah, anti-murder. So a Trump supporter came on and said, we have to be able to have our rights as American citizens to possess guns to defend ourselves from the government. So what I wrote back was, I said, you haven't had to defend yourself from the government since 1861 when they wanted you to give up your fucking slaves. Yeah. That was the last time the government ever fucking came for you. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They're not going to come for you again. So don't give me this argument that I need to... I need to stockpile a cache of fucking weapons to protect myself from the government. Please, motherfucker, the government doesn't care about you and your fucking low to middle income fucking life. You know what? They don't give a shit about you. They are fucking stuffing their pockets right now with money and making you believe that all your fucking problems are because of the Mexicans. Boom!
Can I tell you that my dad, who is a white man, posted a picture today of two women holding a sign that says white men with guns are America's biggest terrorists?
Yeah. I love your
props
dad.
Props to my dad.
Props to your dad.
Hey-o, Stacey's dad.
What are you obsessed with?
Okay, what were you obsessed with, Gene?
I just told you.
We were all obsessed with guns.
Yeah, guns.
Okay, well, you
guns.
Know what? I'm going to change it a little bit. I'm obsessed with the movie Avatar. All right.
Wow, that was a hard okay. left.
You guys that going was... made me want to watch the movie again.
That was
right?
a hard fucking left.
Okay, so we moved to Florida a couple years ago, and we got Disney passes, annual passes, and we've obviously been going religiously ever since. So yes.
Hashtag annual pass holder life.
Hashtag obsessed. And I, they opened Pandora at Animal Kingdom a couple years ago. And as an annual pass holder at Disney World, you are not allowed to get a fast pass until 30 days out. So if you schedule a trip to Disney World, you are allowed to schedule fast passes 60 days out. So I know this is a real like fucking, but I felt like we needed to lighten things up. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Aaron, you could get a fucking assault rifle faster than you can get a fucking Disney fast pass.
Though for fucking real, I could have. Oh, God.
I wish everyone could have seen Jean's like, what?
Mic drop.
For some reason, this 50-year-old white girl is getting all ghetto, and I don't know why.
Yeah, she still is. I'm slightly turned on by it, but don't tell my girl. So we were like, we're gonna go. So we kept trying to get fast passes for one of the rides at Pandora, and it's called Avatar Flight of Passage, and it's lit. You literally become like you link up to an avatar, and you ride a banshee. And it is okay. So I had not ridden it. I love the movie Avatar. Let me tell you, I saw the movie 6 times in the theater. Like I went on a whim with my friend Brad. He was like, "Hey, do you want to go to this movie with me?" I was like, "Yeah, I've never even heard of this movie before. I'll go with you." We go to the IMAX showing. It blew my fucking mind. I was like, "What the fuck is this amazing movie? How did I not heard of it? I'm so disappointed in myself. What the fuck is wrong with me?" I went 5 additional times, all in IMAX. I made Gail go with me. I made Katie go with me. I made all these people fucking go with me to this movie, right? So when Pandora opened, I was like foaming at the mouth to get fast passes for these rides. There's 2 rides. The one we got a fast pass, no problem. Avatar Flight of Passage, could not get it. We've tried for the entire time Pandora's been open. Saturday, Gail on a whim checked it. Fast pass, baby. Fucking went to Animal Kingdom on a whim. It was total like impromptu visit. We were gonna go, we canceled. We're like, nah, we won't go. It's supposed to rain. Fast pass went. I have never, let me tell you right now. I gotta tell you.
Aaron, I love you.
Aaron is more impassioned about this than fucking gun rights.
I'm so ashamed, but also excited. Let me tell you. So.
And that's turning me on.
The walk up. Okay, so Pandora at Disney is an experience in and of itself. It is so amazing. Like during the daytime, it's amazing because it's like you literally feel like you're on the Hallelujah Mountains. Like you are there. You are in the floating mountains. You are fucking there. But then at night, there's black lights everywhere. Everything's glowing. It's amazing. It's so fucking cool. I love it so much. Anyways, so we go up to the ride. We get our fast pass. Blah, blah, blah. We go up. We're walking. We're all through the fucking tunnels. We get up there. We wait like 11 minutes. So you get in and you're sitting on this like bike looking thing. And they like literally strap you in. Like you got this thing pressed against your back. And you got this other thing like pressed against your front. And this whole production about like linking you up to the fucking avatar. And you're like, okay, whatever, this is going to be whatever.
I have never ridden a ride that has made me so emotional in my entire life. Like, you can
feel
the fucking banshee breathing. It is breathing on you. Like, there's puffs of air. When you're flying through the air, there's fucking water coming at your face. There's wind, the smells, like you smell dirt, you smell shit, I don't know, you smell all this. It is so fucking...
Oh, sign me up for that.
Oh my God, I can't even describe to you, like halfway through the ride, I started getting very emotional and I started tearing up and I was like, I'm not gonna fucking cry. I cried. At the end of the ride, take off the 3D glasses. I put them in the bin. I look back at Gail. I'm seriously crying. She was like, are you all right? I was like, that's the best ride I've ever been. I can't believe how amazing it was. I want to go again, but we can't because we're going to have to wait another 2 years for a fucking fast pass. Like, it was so, I can't, like, this is part of the thing that I love about, this is so fucking fictional bullshit, but Pandora. Like, this whole ride is about, like, preserving the environment of Pandora. And it is so amazing because, in my mind, I wish that we had that sort of passion for our Earth, for where we live, is preserving the animal species, the populations, preserving the all the different flora and fauna, preserving these things. And like, this is what this ride is supposed to tell you about, like, is telling you how all of this stuff is happening to preserve Pandora. And it's sad that we don't do that for the Earth, but the ride was fucking awesome. Best ride of my life. I can't wait to go again. So happy I didn't have a gun obsession this week.
Stacey, you have 30 seconds. Okay, say what you want
to
say.
I wanted to jump on Erin's thing she said, because I went and saw The Lion King last weekend, and I think they hired a bunch of fucking monkey and lion actors, because that was the most realistic shit I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Same.
To the point where it's almost a shot for shot remake of the cartoon, but before Circle of Life was even over, like, we haven't even gotten to the fucking title card yet, I was sobbing.
Same.
Like, sobbing. It would, no, I'm telling you, Jackie, do not fucking judge me about this, because it was the most beautiful, like, fucking National Geographic shit with the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my lifetime. And I was bawling. Not at the Lion King. I need you to understand this. It's not at the Lion King. Well, fucking Mufasa dies, and that makes me cry my fucking heart out. But just the, like, the beautiful nature and these animals and how fucking majestic it is with the, I wish you guys, because it looked so real that I was so moved. I was moved to tears. I enjoyed that motion picture so much. I fucking loved it.
Will the Congresswoman from California see?
Please yield the floor.
No, I have an important.
I want to beat both of you
Beyonce
up so bad right now.
I wasn't a fan of Donald Glover.
I hated Beyonce. Everything else, Billy Eichner, genius.
But what about Donald Glover?
I thought he was fine. He's not even in the movie that much. The opening, the first 7 minutes of that film, just the Circle of Life song and, like, watching the animals roll through the savannah, I was done. I was like,
did you also cry like crazy during, like, the live production of The Lion King? Like, the action?
Yeah.
I'm
not a monster. I wish they would have cast somebody who was a better actor and did less with the singing, like Heather Headley or someone like that as Nala, because Beyonce was all riffy and it was so awkward and uncomfortable and she can't act. But other than that, I thought that, especially that opening scene, I thought was perfect.
That,
I loved it.
Being one of the smartest people I've ever met, that was not 30 seconds.
I'm drunk.
Okay. Wine, yes. No, I think everyone knows it's yes. It's always yes.
All
by
the yeses. You know the, like,
it's all,
you know, the Meg Ryan, like, When Harry Met Sally, like, I'll have what she's having. That's how I feel about this wine. I feel Monica, like, 777 about this wine just right now, in case you were wondering.
You're more than welcome to fake an orgasm right now if you'd like. we'll wait.
Aaron and Stacy, if I went to see a movie with you two, I'd have to beat you both up after it.
Probably.
No, we'd be crying. You wouldn't be able to. Oh, empathetic.
I literally cry at everything.
Everyone, have a great weekend.
Oh. Yeah.
One week, I'm just going to let you all record without me, and when you come up with a 3-hour episode.
No.
Have a great weekend.
Jackie, you're the captain of our ship.
Jackie. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the political princess. Twice in one episode, I've got it right without Stacy here.
You got your name right. Yay.
You got your name right.
I'm a genius.
I'm Jean, the fucking feisty feminist, so fuck off.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
She got an accent.
Oh, my God. The wine got off the Brit.
Oh.
All right. I am Erin, the fucking geeky gal pal.
Gal pal. Circle of life.
Gal pal.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.